You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the way up north in our area, down south a lot, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us. Leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review, check us out at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. For the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew, we deliver it to you both. And boy, the Sports Rabbi's been on a crazy month in January. So I know that the podcasts have been a little bit inconsistent, but a lot of traveling was in Spain, Valencia, Barcelona, Madrid. And then I just came back from Belgrade. And along for that journey was, of course, the head of the Hebrew website, Moshe Halichman. We got to see a number of games. We're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to talk about the latest, of course, in the Israeli basketball scene, which we saw plenty in Belgrade. And, of course, we saw plenty, unfortunate, Maccabi Tel Aviv games this week on television. But the other teams have done very well, if that's Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Holon, or Hapoel Tel Aviv, all winners this week. So there's lots to talk about. Moshe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Happy to speak about basketball after we had some really fun games.
Yeah, we had some fun games, but I think let's just start off with what went on over this past week. And, you know, we'll probably come into some of the stuff that we saw. First of all, Maccabi Tel Aviv, we got to see in Belgrade, a 90-75 win over Panathinaikos, where they looked really good. Wade Baldwin was a superstar. It was a Maccabi home game against Panathinaikos in Belgrade, and DeLorenzo Brown looked great. Josh Nebo was fantastic. Tamir Blatt, Jake Cohen, Bonzi Colson, everything was running the right way. And it looked, we figured, they're out of this slump. Everything's going to be okay. They looked good in the Israeli league games that they won. Things were clicking on all cylinders. And then, of course, they go to Real Madrid. What happens? They lose 106-101. They play zero defense. But on offensively, they were fine. I mean, you score 101 points, and you have 28 points from Baldwin, 18 from James Webb. He looked good. Bonzi Colson with 25 and Sorkin with 10. And, you know, there were definitely some hiccups in there. I mean, Tamir Blatt with no points in 16 minutes. John DiBartolomeo, no points, 7 minutes. Jay Cohen wasn't the Jay Cohen we saw against Panathinaikos. You know, Lorenzo Brown was not the player we saw. He was 1 for 10 from 2 and 1 for 5 from 3, 2 for 15. It was a disaster. 6 points in 31 minutes. Real Madrid, of course, you know, you can't, you know, even without a couple of players in Eddie Tavares and Sergio Yule, Zan Musa with 19 points, 16 points for Poirier, 16 points for Azonia, Facundo Campazzo with 12 points, and 9 from Yabusele, 9 for Dak, 9 for Fabian Cazor. But, you know, I guess Maccabi, we theoretically thought they were going to put that game behind them very quickly. I mean, at the end of the day, they played Real Madrid. The offense looked good. The defense was not there. They needed to play a perfect game, blah, 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 blah. They go to Baskonia, and Baskonia is missing a ton of players. I mean, you know, from top to bottom, Baskonia was not with a regular, regular roster. Matt Costello was out. That was his 10-1, but there was a number of regulars that were not playing. Maccabi Tel Aviv looked very good in the first quarter, and they take a 26-20 lead, and defense was fine. Offensively, Wade Baldwin was clicking. Nebo looked good. Things looked fine. And then the second quarter started, and they scored two quick baskets, Baskonia, and it's now 26-24. And I said immediately they should call a timeout. I mean, like, just call a timeout, stop the momentum there, and finish it. Now, they didn't call a timeout, and Wade Baldwin hit a three-pointer. So I was like, okay, So now, the score is now 29-24. But from there on, it was an absolute disaster as Baskonia, 34-21, they outscored Maccabi Tel Aviv in that quarter. Marcus Howard just did anything that he wanted, finishing the game with 26 points. The third quarter was, was not good as well, 19-16 for Baskonia. The last quarter, 19-19. One of the things that Oded said after the Real Madrid game, Moshe, was that, well, they, you know, they didn't lose three of the quarters. Like, they won three of the, there was a tie, I think, one, and they won two of the quarters, but the first quarter was the one that did them in. But listen, this game was a disaster from start to finish. Now, of course, the finish, we saw Wade Baldwin, who was very good in the game, 25 points, Nebo at 12 points, Buns and Colson was not good. Tamir Blatt was a disaster in 20 minutes. You have Jake Cohen wasn't there. Rivera was okay. John DiBartolomeo, no, you know, no effect on the game. Sorkin, not there. Brown was, you know, at 11 points, but he was 1 for 6 from three, wasn't there. He had only had 4 assists, 3 turnovers. James Webb, 8 points, was okay. Cleveland was whatever, you know, a couple points in 15 minutes. They were not good. And then at the end of the game, of course, we see the incident where Wade Baldwin, where there was definitely fouls on Wade Baldwin in the paint. Maccabi was trying to get the score to equal or at least less than what they had lost. They won their first game by, they won by 8. So they wanted to get it to at least 8 or 7 points against Baskonia. So if there was a tiebreaker, they would, you know, they would be okay. It was clear that Wade Baldwin was fouled numerous times in the paint. Referee doesn't call it. After the final whistle, he goes straight to the referee. Thankfully, he did not headbutt the referee and went wild. And the referees were not good. Let's just call it what it is. The referees were not good. They were intimidated. It was not a great crew. I look at the referees on this crew. It was not the, you know, there was no senior referee really here, not the top referees that we've seen in the EuroLeague. They didn't call a good game. They were intimidated by the pro Hamas fans that were in the arena. It was, you know, definitely not a good place to be a Maccabi Tel Aviv player or a Jew or an Israeli for that night in Baskonia. One of the reasons why I originally had wanted to go to that game, I really thought I was going to go to the Madrid-Baskonia games. Did not, obviously the war started and I was like, man, I'm not going to Baskonia. I took a couple different trips. But let's call it here. The one good thing about Wade is that he showed that he cared. Is he the leader for this team? Well, that's still to be determined. Probably he'll get a fine. He won't get suspended. We saw the fine last year in Monaco. Moshe kind of disagrees right now. He thinks he's going to get suspended. I don't think so, but who knows? We'll have to see what happens. Again, that was not the worst thing. We see a lot of players online. Moneke was complaining about the referees. Darren Hilliard thought the referees were not good. Nobody holds up the, you know, them accountable. The referees were not good. That's not why they lost the game. Let's be straight here. Marcus Howard ripped them to pieces in that second quarter, and that's why they lost the game, Moshe.
Yes, Maccabi Tel Aviv with a disappointing week. First of all, they didn't play defense, and on offense, they don't take it possession after possession. You know, some important plays, like against Real Madrid, they just didn't take seriously enough, and any mistake against a team like Real Madrid, when you get punished, and any mistake against Baskonia and the whole environment in the arena there, then you also get punished. And that's what happened to Maccabi Tel Aviv. And Wade Baldwin, I highly doubt he won't get suspended, exactly because he was already involved in the Monaco game, and then he got fined, if I remember right, and not suspended. But when it's happening again and it looks much worse, then he'll get suspended. And you know what? If it's for one game, I think it may even be positive, because I think he does need to understand to totally stop with behavior like that. But if it's for more, and honestly, I think it would be for more. I think it would be 2 free games. At least, I doubt it would be more than that. But I definitely see here easily that the EuroLeague decides 2 games. So Maccabi are in big trouble, because Wade is playing excellent recently, and he could even give more. You know, for some minutes he's at his best, and sometime he doesn't give much during a game. And also, Oded Katash sometimes just doesn't give him enough minutes. He should give him even more minutes. The 28 minutes he plays the game, or whatever it is, he could get even more. So I think Maccabi are in big trouble because of a Baldwin situation, and I think it's a loss of everyone in Maccabi, what's happening, also to Baldwin, also to the club. It's just a big disappointment, because Baldwin, basketball-wise, is really in crazy form and a top EuroLeague player. And after at the start of the season, when he had the injury even, it was still taking him time. But recently, he's just a beast in every game. And yes, it comes also with the emotions that went one step too far this time.
Listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv, they did not have very good body language in this game. They were frustrated. They were very, very, very frustrated. There is no question. The body language was not good. Oded Kattaş was not happy. Watching the press conference, you could see he was very upset at the team. And you could hear it in his words. You could hear it in his voice. I don't know. I mean, it was, there's something not good that went on there. That's clear. Something very, very not good went on in this game. A lot of things. Maccabi Tel Aviv now comes back to Israel. They have a couple of games. They play Holon in Holon, and then they play Eilat at home on Monday night. And then they go out to play Efes, Anadolu Efes, not in Turkey due to the security situation. So, you know, there's a chance they can win that game. Efes just changed their coaches. Of course, Erdem Cem was relieved of his duties. Assistant coach is going to take them the rest of the way this year. I don't know. I got to look at this Maccabi Tel Aviv. And I know that he's a repeat offender, Wade Baldwin is, and that's why you'd think he'd make it suspended. I'm not so sure that the EuroLeague's going to want to suspend him. I'd still be surprised. I'll tell you what Maccabi really needs right now. They really need to refresh the roster. They need new players, desperately. The deadline for signing players, registering for the EuroLeague is next week. You know, they need a boost of one or two players, at least one, maybe two. Can they do it? I don't know. There's obviously massive financial implications in this season that the management is not going to want to add somebody because it's going to cost money. And that's going to be an issue. Do they want to see this season go down the tubes right now? I don't think so. You know, they're still, you know, over 500. They're going to probably be knocked out of a playoff spot. And they already are. They're, you know, they're down to 10th place, so 13 and 12. Partizan may they're 12 and 12 and they have a game coming up. And they're not in brutal situation. They still have, you know, plenty of games to go. We know that this was a rough stretch for Maccabi Tel Aviv. That we know. We understand that we knew that these two games in Spain were not going to be easy. Efes, you know, on a regular week should be a win. Then you have a big break. There's going to be a ton of Israeli games coming up. And it would be the perfect time if you're going to sign a player or two to really get them into the team. Again, will they do it? Now, you look at their games coming up. These are all, you know, they have seven straight winnable games coming up. Efes, Alba, Žalgiris, Red Star, Villebrun, Bayern, Valencia. Now, Red Star is probably the one game where, you know, they're going to have a tough time. That's going to be at the Stark Arena. We were there. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, those are all winnable games. And, you know, and there's a few home, quote-unquote, home games there. The Valencia, Villebrun, and Žalgiris. Berlin's not, you know, big. You know, Berlin and Munich are not great basketball towns. So they should be able to, you know, if they take a deep breath here, and maybe you bring in one new player. I don't know who that one player is. If you had to pick a player off of any roster right now that's not playing in Europe, so that means Justin Smith you can't take, because that'd be the player that I would take in a second right now, off of any roster, would be Justin Smith from Holon. Forget about Jerusalem. You're not going to touch any of them. If you're looking at one player in the Israeli League, one or even two players, who would you take right now that's not in Europe, that you just pluck from the roster, because that's going to be the easiest type of signing? Can they find somebody that's not on the Israeli roster? Possibly. But somebody that would be inexpensive, that is already in Israel, who would you take?
Wow, that's a good question. So, you know, let's throw credit to James Bateman, because why not?
That's the guy I picked also.
How can't you love this guy? I mean, he's just amazing what he's doing this season in Kiryat Atta. And Maccabi do need a guard like that that can make points. Definitely if Wade Baldwin would be out. And, you know, even with Wade Baldwin, then Lorenzo Brown on nights he's not at his best, then a guy like Bateman could definitely help. Except him, I'm trying to think. It's a bit tough to have an answer with my extincts here, but you know, maybe a winner like John Davis of Hapoel Haifa.
That's another player that I was thinking of, is John Davis. Could again, if you want to bring in a guy, I wouldn't touch Mike McGurl. I don't think that he's, you know, I mean, he's great, not the player I'd want, but somebody like John Davis, I would bring him in. Elijah Stewart, you know, he's okay, but he's not the player that you're going to bring in. I think that they need, you know, again, to me, Justin Smith would be number one, right? But you're not going to touch him because he's on a cologne right now. But if you look at the other players here, I mean, I think you're looking at Bateman and you're looking at John Davis. Those are the two guys that I would say, okay, I'm taking them off these rosters and I'm bringing them in because I need some guys to refresh my team right now. And they're not going to cost you a lot of money. There may be a buyout, but, you know, the buyout is what it is. And I don't think Maccabi Tel Aviv wants to see their season go down the drain. Again, they have 7 games coming up, all of which are winnable. They could easily go 6-1. If they go 6-1 in those games, they're 19-13, and they're making the playoffs. Okay, that's the bottom line. But I think there's also another aspect here that I was talking to one of the other journalists about. There's a mental aspect here right now that is difficult that Maccabi needs to overcome. I don't know if there's people working with them or the psychologists working with them, but Moshe, there's a mental aspect here with Maccabi Tel Aviv that has to be dealt with.
Definitely, and Maccabi, we see them lose in all kinds of different ways. If it's against Partizan and how they lost there, if it's now against Baskonia, there's just so many different types of losses they have, and I think it's for sure something mentally, and I just need to find the way to overcome that, because if we're just not able to get out of these situations for now, and even if they do, then it's not for more than one game. Another name I thought of, you know, maybe not the biggest name, but maybe he could help, you know, if Maccabi needs Stevens? A four. Marcellus Erlington from Afula. He gives a lot of a four position, and maybe Maccabi could use that, as surprising as it sounds. Those are the names that come out off the bat. I'm sure there's more names that I could think of players who may fit. Again, we see with Antonis Cleveland, it's not easy to go into the EuroLeague, so you never know what would happen. And I personally think Cleveland still didn't really get a big chance to show what he's worth. He definitely got chances in some games, and in some games he just got too many fouls, which is a problem. But I think we could see more from him also.
All right, let's move on from Maccabi Tel Aviv. Let's go to Hapoel Jerusalem. They were 83-74 winners over Pinar Karshiaka. It looks like Ilias Kanzouras is fitting the team like a glove. And there seems to be no issues. I mean, Levi Randolph, 19 points, 15 points to Corey Williams. Kadeem Carrington, 10, 10 from Zach Hankins. Speedy Smith, 12 assists, 9 points. I mean, it just goes on and on and on here. Ja'Cory Williams, literally this guy, 7-for-7 from the field, 4 rebounds. If anybody fit like a glove for this Hapoel Jerusalem team, this guy fits like an absolute club for the team. He's just an incredible athlete and an energy, and they couldn't have asked for a better bingo.
Yes, you know, Morris Endur was amazing for Hapoel Jerusalem at the start of his season. After in preseason, there may have been some question marks, but in BCL, he just had a huge start to the season. Then he left, and comes Ja'Cory Williams, who just upgraded the position even more. And it's really amazing to see what he does in the paint. And he also gets help from so many teammates. You know, Zach Hankins still isn't the Zach Hankins of last year, but he is looking a bit better. And except him, I mean, Levi Randolph, just if a guy comes almost every game, huge numbers. And Chris Johnson gives so much for the team, fighting-wise, exactly like Ja'Cory Williams. And Speedy Smith is just an amazing floor general, what he's doing this season. You know, people are also tweeting about it. At the time, he said he's not worse than Lorenzo Brown and Jacoven Brown, and everyone were laughing about that, and he had a bad game against Jacoven Brown in the Hapoel Tel Aviv the night of the day the interview was posted. And suddenly, we look at Speedy Smith this season, and this guy doesn't fall from anyone.
Triple-double machine.
He's probably better than anyone.
A triple-double almost every game.
Yes, Speedy Smith is just huge, and even when he does mistakes, when he knows how to come back with a big play after that, and it's just great to see what he does this season for Jerusalem.
Yeah, they have Tenerife coming up. Listen, Elias Kantsouras came into a... obviously a very good situation, a setup team. He doesn't really need to do much. I mean, and I think it would serve him right not to do really anything, just to let these guys play, coach them, make the calls when they need to. You know, seems to be a pleasant fellow. So far, so good.
Yes, I mean, what we do want to see from him is to find the way that Yovel Zussman would be a bigger part of his team. Also, Zussman has responsibility of taking more shots, but Kantsouras, too, needs to give him much more credit, because Zussman is a EuroLeague-caliber player. And except that, it's really interesting to see what Kantsouras does, if it's starting last game with Chachashvili and Hankins, or like I said, with Zussman, not giving him much credit. It's really interesting to follow what the new coach does, and we'll see how it continues.
But it's also clear, and we talked about this, I think, with Arya Livna from Aretz, that Marek's and Sim last year were a very big piece of what Hankins is able to do. Now, when there's another big with Hankins, it seems that he's just a better player, and it kind of covers some spots for him. Maybe that's what Kantsouras is, and I think that's a good, maybe that's a good solution. Is maybe that you have to have another big starting with him.
Yes, Gabi Chachashvili has a good effect on the team for now, definitely with Zach Hankins. Like last year, it was Itai Segev with Zach Hankins, and also from Chachashvili, we want to see him do more. But all in all, his effect is really positive on the team and on Zach Hankins. So, if it's not broken, then don't fix it.
Hapoel Holon, 79-68 winners over AEK. And I got to tell you, very surprised with this victory. Holon came back. They didn't look good in their last game. They, pulled their pants up, and boy, did they play well. Justin Smith, 17 points, 19 points for CJ Harris. But the real key to this game was Natan Olarizzi, 16 points. He had, I think, 14 points in the first quarter or something. He set the tone. AEK is a good team. I mean, AEK is a tough team. Chasen Randall, 22 points. Justin Tillman, 10 points. Brandon Knight, 12 points, played in the NBA. Jordan McRae was not the Jordan McRae we've seen in the past. They're a very good team, AEK, and they, got to give them a lot of credit, Holon. They came in and they did what they had to do. I mean, Amit Sheriff must be a really happy camper. He's 1-1 right now. That's good stuff. I mean, you can't put that aside. The fact that Amit Sheriff, rookie head coach, is now 1-1 in the round of 16 is terrific. I mean, that to me is just absolutely phenomenal for him. They have another home game, quote unquote, in Hungary against Prometheus. There's no reason to think they can't be 2-1.
Yes, Hapoel Holon had a huge win against AEK and a player like Jordan McRae. And Amit Sheriff is just doing amazing stuff with his squad this season, more than expected. And also, Natan Olarizzi, he started the season not good, but with the time, he's having an excellent season right now. He's looking very good. And I hope for Holon that they'll continue to succeed.
Yeah, I hope so too. Prometheus Pastorus, they have some players, but this is not a team. Hunter Hale, 29 points last game. He's their guy, 20 points from Anthony Cowan. But I don't see any reason why Holon can't win this game, and I'm sure that they will put in a very good matchup against them. Hapoel Tel Aviv, 91-85 winners over Badalona. They had a couple more players coming back, which is good for them. Hapoel Tel Aviv looking very nice right now. When you have a player like Jacobin Brown coming in, playing 19 minutes, 12 points, and I think just what the doctor ordered with him, Jalen Horde, 22 minutes, 11 points. He comes in as well. So some of these injured players are now coming back. When you add in players like Will Cummings and Xavier Munford and Kyle Alexander and Des Wells, and not even to mention Tomer Guinat, who only had 2 points in the game, he only took a couple shots. Hapoel Tel Aviv looked extremely good and very different. The team we saw against Promaty, where they lost 113-105, they played no defense on that game. That was a game we saw in Belgrade. Coach Franco was not happy after that game with their performance, rightfully so. Angola is hurt. He had 24 points in that game, but now he's hurt. He only played a minute or so. So we're going to have to see what happens. Hapoel Tel Aviv allowed a player like Ronald March to score 27 points, and Gian Clavel, 19 points in that game that we saw. Andre Balvin was 16 points, 90 points for Caleb Agata. Hapoel Tel Aviv has one more game left in their regular season coming up now. They have a very, very important game against Besiktas, which will make, really for them, all the difference, because as long as they win that game, they'll be finished in second place, and they're in good shape. If they lose and London Lions wins, they're going to end up in third place, and that's not where they want to be.
Yes, Hapoel Tel Aviv are proving how to react to slumps, and it's really amazing what Danny Franco does with his team all season long, and what Ofer Yaniva owner is doing, bringing in new players like Wells and Cummings, and now getting back the players who were injured like Brown and Tord, and Angola isn't even back, and John Holland is sitting out too, and this is just a superstar team that can go really far, and not only do they look like favorites if everyone's healthy to win the Israeli league, then they can also make the Euro Cup finals. Like Ofer Yanai tweeted, it definitely makes sense when you have all of these players back, and it's impressive to see that Cummings and Jacobin didn't step on each other in this game, and both were able to contribute to the win, and Hapoel Tel Aviv have a really promising future.
Yeah, no question. Let's talk a little bit about the Israeli scene. Bnei Herzliya defeated Kiryat Ata 76-62, a game that we were at. It was not a very good game. Ben Saraf played, got a little hurt, got knocked up into things in his thigh. I don't think anything serious. Ramat Gan defeated Galileo in 89-77, a game that Ben Pask was at for us. Jordan Cohen, the new Jewish Jordan, was fabulous. Hapoel Haifa, 88-82 winners over Afula. Be'er Sheva, Jerusalem comes back, 79-74 winners. Hapoel Tel Aviv defeated Kiryat Ata up north, 97-89. Maccabi Tel Aviv that past Saturday night, 97-73 winners over Nes Ziona. And then the game that took place on Friday, Hapoel Holon defeated Eilat 87-71. Israeli League games coming up. We have Hapoel Tel Aviv and Be'er Sheva. Hapoel Holon hosts Maccabi Tel Aviv. Hapoel Haifa, Hapoel Tel Aviv on Sunday. Also on Sunday, Hapoel Afula, Bnei Herzliya. And as well on Sunday, Kiryat Ata hosts Hapoel Jerusalem. On Monday, Maccabi Tel Aviv welcomes in Eilat. Also Monday, Nes Ziona says hello to Galil Elyon. Tuesday, Be'er Sheva, Ramat Gan. Thursday, Nes Ziona and Bnei Herzliya. And then Friday next week, Galil Elyon hosts Ramat Gan in Sfat. Hopefully the clock works there. Moshe, let's switch gears for a minute here and just talk a little bit about our trip to Belgrade. Of course, we already mentioned we saw the Maccabi play. We saw Hapoel Tel Aviv play. We also saw two other games. We saw Mega play Budućnost in the ABA League. And then we also saw the big eternal derby, the Belgrade Derby between Red Star Partizan, 88-86 winners. Red Star was in a fantastic game. Yanis Feropoulos, the head coach of Red Star, Željko Obradović, the head coach of Partizan, on Sunday night. Red Star takes a huge lead, and then, you know, Partizan comes back at the end and made it a game. And we've seen that so many times for Yanis Varopoulos teams in derbies, but they were able to pull it out with the Iago dos Santos with a great, an absolutely great play, an acrobatic layup. And you can read all about it on sportsrabbi.com. I have a huge piece about that game itself. We're going to have an interview with one of the players from Mega that is a candidate to be selected in the second round. We'll have that coming out next week. But listen, 20,000 people in the Stark Arena, great atmosphere. It was a lot of fun. We got to meet a lot of different people over the course of the trip, including a lot of different journalists, like Josh Bett, who you see on Twitter all the time. And, you know, he was there, so it was great to hang out with him a little bit. Nikola Lalovic, we met with him. Milos Jovanovic, we met with him. Mindaugas Birdies from Basket News, we got to hang out with him a little bit. Nikola, I don't want to butcher the last name, but maybe Trubletsky or something, a Serbian reporter, got to hang out with him. Met up with a number of other people as well, including Coach Alexander Jukic from Hapoel Jerusalem, and that was quite an experience in itself, an out-of-body experience, as Moshe wrote. But it was a good trip. We saw some good basketball. It was a fun city to be in, and it was good to get out a little bit, Moshe.
Yes, there were so many amazing moments during the trip. If it's spending time with Jokic, if it's seeing Yanis Varopoulos again, if it's seeing Neno Ginzburg, you know, it's not something that doesn't happen each day, even though he's an Israeli coach, and hearing him and Danny Franco almost in tears speak about Lior Lubin and Oded Katash speaking about Lubin, if it's just small things in the airport, like Shimon Mizrahi taking a small nap before the flight, or Oded going onto the plane with earphones, and the Belgrade Derby, which you got everything you wanted from a basketball game, if it's atmosphere, if it's a huge comeback. All game I believed that Partizan would come back, and they did to some extent. If it's a winning basket of Iago dos Santos, the journalists we met, it was really a great experience. And also the young player of Mega that we met, Durisic. So he told us about his connection to Israel. His parents played here at professional sports. So really a lot of big moments in this trip. And it was really fun.
A lot of fun. Moshe, where can people reach out to you?
At Mo Blue Line on Twitter.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both. And, of course, make sure you check us out. All the great articles from our trips, from my recent trip to Spain, recent trip, of course, to Belgrade. We're all over the place, and a lot of fun. And I want to wish everybody here a Shabbat Shalom from the land of Israel.